there are some of you in this room, probably many of us, who remember the 1980s commercial. For about 70 cents, you can buy a can of soda, regular or diet. Or in Ethiopia, for 70 cents, you can feed Jamal nourishing meals. For about 70 cents, you can buy a cup of coffee. In Venezuela, you can help Velma get the clothes she needs to attend school. For 70 cents, you can buy a pack of gum, plain or sugar-free. Gum has really been inflated, by the way. Or you can help Maria receive the operation she needs to receive sight. Hi, I'm, who remembers? Sally Struthers, who follows up with an invitation to join in the Christian Children's Fund. You all remember those commercials? Everybody remembers those commercials. They were sad. They pulled at your heartstrings. You saw those kids and they made your gut wrench and they tugged on our strings of compassion. Compassion, that word which means co-suffering. Like co as in the community together, and suffering like Christ's passion or suffering. That co-suffering, that compassion, it caused us to feel misfortune and pain and suffering of others. It invoked within us pity and sympathy and empathy and care and concern and love and tenderness and kindness. Compassion is mentioned twice today. First, in the collect, we plead to God that through God's grace we may minister with compassion. In the gospel today, Jesus went as a traveling preacher throughout towns and cities and villages and taught in synagogues and proclaimed the good news that the kingdom was near. And he healed people in body, mind, and spirit. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. He was moved in his bowels and his gut by the state of the people who were like sheep without a shepherd and confused and aimless, harassed and helpless, faint and scattered. He had compassion upon them. That word compassion in the Bible is the word which conjures up these gut feelings. Just like commercials from the Christian Children's Fund or World Vision or Compassion International or any number of commercials like that that we have seen. It's that gut-wrenching feeling which causes our stomach to flip and flop and to feel someone else's pain and to feel as if we understand a little bit of their suffering. This is what Jesus does today when he sees the crowd. He's moved with pity from his bowels, from his stomach, from his gut. Jesus has compassion a lot. We know this. He had compassion on today's crowd. He had compassion on the boat right before he fed the 5,000. Then he had compassion on the crowd when he fed the 4,000, when he was worried that they had been following him for 3 days and hadn't had much food. And he didn't want to send them home where they would faint on the road. And so he had compassion on them and fed them. He had compassion on the two blind men who were sitting outside the walls of Jericho when he gave them sight. When the leper came begging to him to be made clean, Jesus was moved with compassion. And he stretched out his hands and touched him and said, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left the man and he was made clean. Remember that Jesus had compassion on the widow whose only son had just died on the road to Nain. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." And then he came and touched the dead son and said, "Arise." And the dead son sat up and began talking. Two of our greatest Christian stories, that I always say the two that everyone knows, even if they aren't Christian, involve compassion. The Samaritan had compassion for the man lying in the ditch left for dead when he picked him up and took him to an inn and paid for his recovery. And the father and the prodigal son had compassion on his wayward, sinning, long-lost, runaway-from-home son. When the father was sitting at home and in the distance saw his child running back towards him, he was moved with pity. He had compassion. This is what compassion is in a biblical sense. It's that deep movement from within us that helps us to feel the suffering of others. But the biblical view of compassion isn't just enough to feel. The biblical view of compassion always involves action. The compassionate stories in our scripture are always followed with action. When Jesus feels compassion, Jesus then heals and cures and casts out and cares for. He acts. Compassion involves action in a biblical sense. The prodigal father gets up and embraces the son. A Samaritan gets up and picks someone out of the ditch. Compassion in the Jesus sense of the word isn't just feeling for another person. It isn't just bless his heart or, oh, I feel so sorry for him. It's getting up and doing something. I think we say this all the time. At least I do. I say bless his heart or I feel sorry for him. I feel so sorry for him because he's lonely, or I feel so sorry for her because she's addicted, or bless her heart, she's so sick. But it's often not followed with action, right? Sometimes it just stops there. And sometimes I think we feel like we don't have enough time or energy or effort to expel that compassion. But today we read in today's gospel about how the disciples are commissioned into action work. How the disciples are called and given power and authority by Jesus to share in community, not only the feeling of suffering, but the work of healing in the world. We read today about how Jesus called together his disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits, to participate in the healing of the world, to cast out demons and evilness, to cure disease and sickness. The disciples not only had the feeling of compassion, they had the ability and power to act upon it, to heal and cure and proclaim the good news. And likewise, by our baptism, we are invited, empowered, given authority to co-participate in this co-ministry of compassionate action, to call and proclaim the good news and to serve in Christ's healing work in the world, to cast out evil and to redirect the world to hope and light and love. If you're sitting in this room and have been confirmed in the Episcopal Church, that call was reaffirmed when the bishop said these words: renew in these your servants the covenant that you made with them at their baptism. Send them forth in the power of the Spirit to perform the service you set before them through Jesus Christ. Through our baptism, this is what we are called to do. The compassionate action of Jesus. To kick out evil and darkness and to offer words of healing and hope and kindness to those who are sick and downtrodden and bruised and hurt. Through our baptisms, we are called to be the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son and the hands and feet of Jesus that deliver healing and hope and light into the world. Not only by our feelings, but by our actions. And I don't know about you, but I know that without a doubt, our world and country can use this work right now. The ability of people who can sit down and actually listen and hear and resonate with and pick up someone who is different than them. The ability to show care and concern to the person who, like the man on the ditch in the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, the Samaritan showed compassion to. The person who is different from us religious and politically. The world and our country needs people who can sit and hear and listen and pick up and forgive and show kindness like the prodigal father. So today we remember that the disciples were commissioned to share in the work of Jesus, and that through our baptisms, we are called to do this work as well, to be the hands and feet in Jesus in the world. So that's our call today, to do just that, to not only watch a commercial and to feel, but to be moved to action, to not walk idly by like the priest or the Levite in the Samaritan story, but to sit with the wounded and the hungry and the grieving, and to act compassionately.